Once again, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace, Shastrikrit Prabhuji, here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.20.14 onwards. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I was just thinking, just when the devotees are announcing themselves, you know, we can definitely see so much devotion in each voice. It's actually very special and inspiring for me to be addressing this exalted group. I'm really inspired and touched. This is what Prabhupada wanted, inspired Grihasthas doing so much service. So, let's start with the invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is chapter, canto 4, chapter 20, text 14. Chapter entitled, Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. Text 14. Sriya Prajapalanam eva rajno yat samprapye sukritat sastamam san. Hartanyata hrita punya prajna tarakshito karahara agammati. Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To give protection to the general mass of people who are citizens of the state is the prescribed occupational duty for a king. By acting in that way, the king in his next life shares 1/6 of the result of the pious activities of the citizens. But a king or executive head of state who simply collects taxes from the citizens but does not give them proper protection as human beings has the results of his own pious activities taken away by the citizens. And in exchange for his not giving protection, he becomes liable to punishment for the impious activities of his subject. Report. The question may be raised here that if everyone engaged in spiritual activities to attain salvation and became indifferent to the activities of the material world, how could things as they are go on? And if things are to go on as they ought to, how can a head of state be indifferent to such activities? In answer to this question, the word Shreya, auspicious, is used here. The division of activities in society as arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead was not blindly or accidentally created, as foolish people say. The Brahmana must do his duty properly, and the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, and even the Sudra must do the same. And every one of them can achieve the highest perfection of life. Liberation from this material bondage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:45. Sve sve karmani abhirata samsidim labhate nara. by executing one's prescribed duties, one can attain the highest perfection. Lord Vishnu advised Maharaj Prithu that a king is not enjoined to give up his kingdom and the responsibility for protecting the prajas or citizens, to instead go away to Himalayas for liberation. He can attain liberation while executing his royal duties. The royal duty, or the duty of the head of state, is to see that the prajas or the general mass of people are doing the respective duty for spiritual salvation. A secular state does not necessitate a king or head of state who is indifferent to the activities of the prajas. In the modern state, the government has many rules and regulations for conducting the duties of the prajas, but the government neglects to see that the citizens advance in spiritual knowledge. If the government is careless in this matter, the citizens will act whimsically without any sense of God realization or spiritual life, and thus become entangled in sinful activities. An executive state should not be careless to the welfare of the general mass of people while he simply goes on collecting taxes. The king's real duty is to see that citizens gradually become fully Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means completely free from all sinful activities. As soon as there is complete eradication of sinful activities in the state, then there will be no more war, pestilence, famine, or natural disturbances. This was actually prevailing during the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira. If a king or head of the government is able to induce the citizens to become Krishna conscious, then he is worthy to rule over the mass of people. Otherwise, he has no right to levy taxes. If the king looks after the spiritual interests of the citizens, he can levy taxes without difficulties. In this way, both the subjects and the king will be happy. During this life and in the next life, the king will be able to share 1/6 of the pious activities of the citizen. Otherwise, by levying taxes on the sinful citizens, he will have to share the reactions of their sinful activities. The same principle can be applied to parents and spiritual masters as well. If parents simply give birth to children like cats and dogs, it cannot save their children from imminent death. They become responsible for the activities of their animalistic children. Lately, such children are turning into hippies. Similarly, if the spiritual master cannot direct his disciple to become free of sinful activities, he becomes responsible for their sinful acts. These subtle laws of nature are unknown to the present leaders of society. Since the leaders of society have a poor fund of knowledge and the citizens in general are rogues and thieves, there cannot be an auspicious situation for a human society. At the present moment, the whole world is full of such incompatible combination of state and citizens, and therefore there's constant tension, war, and anxiety as an inevitable result of such social conditions. ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते देवामृतस्वामी नित्यनामे नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्यनामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य अधिष्ठारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So, while reading the translation and purport, I had this little realization how, you know, while reading Bhagavatam and while reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, we take it for granted, you know. Okay, Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu is speaking in this chapter to his pure devotee, Shakti Avesh Avatar, you know, an exemplary king. But, you know, it's actually like familiarity, like they say, like the worst enemy for one's spiritual life. Can easily creep in after some time of practicing Krishna consciousness. But when we are doing, like for example, when I set up a bookstall or book table, or, you know, when we regularly hold programs, home programs, or, you know, to introduce people to Krishna consciousness, it's actually very educational. It keeps us on our toes, so to speak. We realize this is not a common thing. Because most people have no idea that there is a Supreme Person. And even the people that have some idea that there is God, and people talk about God and soul all the time, but it's very impersonal, it's very materialistic and very vague. People don't have an understanding who is the Supreme. For us to read all the time, like directly, you know, from the pages of Bhagavatam, to hear directly from, you know, the Supreme Personality of God, and Vishnu said this, you know, it's not an everyday thing, it's actually a very rare benediction for us to hear what the Supreme Personality of Godhead likes from us as His devotees, how He wants us to behave. And also to read about an exemplary king, you know, the exemplary king, how they dealt with their citizens. Praja, Prabhupada would always point out this point, that the citizens doesn't mean just like, you know, human beings. You know, there is this concept of, you know, love your neighbor and love your enemies and like this in other teachings, other religions. But then people conveniently take it that, you know, they will love the neighbor as long as the neighbor is from, you know, speaks the same language, or, you know, their same skin color, or the same financial status, or the same into same football team, or the same politicians. So we think like that, love thy neighbor means, you know, we're selfishly people, you know, love the people that they want to love. But even in the Bible it says it doesn't take a great soul to, you know, love your friend and hate your enemy. That, you know, it takes a great soul even to love your enemy. So, and some people extend this bodily concept of love treating others nicely, as long as they're, you know, within their same country. Okay, I love my country. God bless America, you know, like that. And, you know, we love our country, you know, we're from India. Today is actually a Independence Day celebration in India, like this. So we will, you know, extend our love maximum to our country or maybe, you know, a few other countries. But the love of the Bhagavatam, of the Sanatana Dharma, is on another level. Love your neighbor means every species, you know, including non-humans. So this understanding in itself, it's so profound, it's so deep. We're not even talking about deep Krishna philosophy yet. We're just talking, you know, one time I was distributing books in a university campus, and one girl was asking, this was many years ago in Los Angeles, and this girl was asking me, like, "Oh, are you spiritual?" I said, "I'm trying to be." And then she said, like, "What does it mean to be spiritual?" So I told her what Chanakya Pandit says, you know, there are three ways you can tell if somebody is spiritual. So Prabhupada would often quote this. Chanakya Pandit says, if you're a spiritual person, you know, you treat other people's belongings like property, like garbage. Like, I mean, we don't misuse it or trash other people's property, but we're not attracted to it, just like we're not attracted to a garbage can. And you treat other people's wife like your mother, and others' pain and pleasure like your own, is the point I wanted to make. So if it hurts me, why should I do that to others? Like the example is given, a little boy was throwing pebbles, he was throwing rocks at a frog, and the frog was screaming. The frog was screaming, and the frog asked this boy, like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the boy said, "Oh, nothing, just having fun." And the frog said, "What about me? You're having fun at the cost of, you know, throwing, bleeding, make me bleed." So this concept of praja means love for all species. We read about so many kings, Maharaj Sibi, that was willing to give, you know, his bodily flesh on the scale, a weighing scale, in exchange for a pigeon, to protect the pigeon from a hawk. And we read about Ranti Dev. He gave his last cup of water to a chandala, to a dog eater. Like that, we even read in South India, there were kings, they were riding on their golden chariot, and when they saw a creeper, a jasmine plant, which needs shelter, so they left their chariot for the jasmine plant, and they just walked home. So we read about so many kings. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about the leper Vasudev. He had advanced stages of leprosy, so much so there were living worms in his body. So when a worm would fall down from his body, Vasudev would pick it up and put it back in the exact same place. His understanding was, I'm a spirit soul living in this body, and this is a spirit soul, so why am I being harsh to this worm? I mean, this is, you know, don't try this at home. This cannot be imitated on, you know, artificially in our beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. But at least the standard is there for us to, you know. At least we should know the standard. And here, Prabhupada points out that the king shares one-sixth of the result of the pious activities of the citizen. So if the king doesn't have this, you know, broad concept of praja and is not training his citizens to have the same, then what happens is the king not only shares one-sixth of the result of pious activities of the citizen, but he also shares one-sixth of the sinful activities of the citizen. Can you imagine, sharing one-sixth of the sinful activities of the citizens in any country? Whether we are in India, or whether we are in Pakistan, whether we are in USA or Mexico, you name it. It just basically like a horror movie, just to imagine, it's inconceivable. People are like, people have no idea of what's piety, what's chastity, you know, any of these things. People are just, I mean, don't get me started. It's just, you all know what I'm talking about. You're all exalted devotees practicing Krishna consciousness. So you get an idea of what I'm trying to say. It's just inconceivable. It's just inconceivable. Can you imagine the president of America getting one-sixth of the karma of even just one county in America, one state, or it just blows your mind. But the good thing is, Prabhupada actually in one instance, he went down and kissed the land of America, and he said, this country was so nice to me and it gave me so much facility to spread Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was extremely grateful to the American boys and girls and America in general for, you know, allowing him to spread Krishna consciousness. And imagine how many books have been distributed. Just one person, Prabhupada came, and few of his American disciples were inspired, and from that humble beginning, there were like an avalanche of Sankirtan Yajna performed every town and village in the world. There was like mass, profuse distribution of Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gauranitai deities, Harinam, Prasadam distribution, like this. So much yajna was being performed, especially in America. And from America, Prabhupada sent the devotees all around the world to distribute books and prasadam all over the world. And in India, they're doing it in a massive scale, this distribution of Bhagavad Gita. Like just from, you know, what the amount of books being distributed, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, always number one in Delhi, like distributing books to, you know, like Modi and every celebrity that comes by, he gives him a Bhagavad Gita and encourages them. And similarly, like all over India, His Holiness, you know, I don't want to just glorify some Maharajas and not others, but we all know, like, you know, Radhanath Maharaj and inspiration, so many Bhaktivikas Maharaj and Jayapathak Maharaj, and they're all doing so much prachar, preaching activities, that practically like everybody in India knows about ISKCON. You know, you just have to set up a bookstall and, you know, you're already established. You can go to any remote part and, you know, the Americans know us as Hare Krishnas and the Indian people know as soon as you say ISKCON. So like this, and if the president or prime minister or whoever in charge, king, or they get 1/6 of all this book distribution, Harinam and Prasadam distribution, the results, that's incredible actually. Prabhupada actually said if we distribute, like for example in L.A., Prabhupada said, you know, as long as we are distributing books and, you know, doing Harinam and like that, the ocean won't come and swallow up the, all of Los Angeles, which is totally possible. That's like, you know, on the fault line, it's like very, you know, prone to earthquakes and, you know, same thing Prabhupada said, you know, the Third World War, Prabhupada said, was in the future, will begin between India and Pakistan. But Prabhupada said, but as long as there is Harinam and book distribution, prasadam distribution going on, goshalas and so many activities being performed, auspicious Krishna conscious activities, then it will not actually happen. But as soon as we forget, like Prabhupada said, as soon as you forget book distribution, there will be no more Hari Hari Bol. It will all die. As long as that's like the oxygen, you know, that keeps the body alive, the body of Krishna consciousness stays alive from sharing. From sharing, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example. Just like when a husband and wife or living together, after a while it gets kind of stagnant and boring, but as soon as the child comes in the family, there's like a kickstart. It's refreshing in the family. Similarly, we can, you know, chant Hare Krishna and like that. It's nice, but if we introduce others to chant Hare Krishna, and when you hear the realizations of new people chanting and reading Bhagavatam and taking prasadam, it's just so enlivening. It's just that experience is like unearthly. It's so unique, that experience of sharing with others. Otherwise, how can we expect, you know, the ignorant, innocent masses of people to know anything? They're naturally going to, you know, only commit sinful activities. That's by default. Because, you know, it's not like the leaders are going to make sure everybody is becoming interested in self-realization and you get a postcard from your mayor or your, you know, president saying, oh, such and such, so nice, we see that you're taking to Krishna consciousness. You know, congratulations, and we are here for you if you need anything. You will never get such a postcard or encouragement, not even from our own family members. So that's the situation. But Prabhupada taught us how to go to each individual and, you know, pick the ripe fruits and see. Prabhupada said in every street corner there's a Brahmana waiting. So there are so many people that will take the Krishna consciousness. If we actually take the opportunity and try to share, more than ever, people are actually hungry for this Krishna consciousness teachings now. So reading about this, you know, how the king takes on the pious and impious activities of the citizens, it just reminded me of this pastime. Excuse me for one second. just reminded me of this pastime of Yamunacharya. When Yamunacharya was brought to this king's court, because Yamunacharya's guru failed to pay taxes to the king, and the king sent guards to threaten Yamunacharya's guru, and Yamunacharya challenged the king with a debate. Yamunacharya said, "How is it possible that you're saying my guru lost in a debate, even when you cannot even, you know, defeat me in a debate?" So the king was shocked to see, to hear a like 7 or 8 year old boy talking like this. So the king agreed for a debate with his court pundit, Kolahala. And, you know, Kolahala was this pundit who was really puffed up. And he was working for the, you know, in the court of the king. And Kolahala was so good at debates and, you know, logic and argument, that anybody the king puts in front of him will be defeated. So when this little boy, Yamunacharya, came for debate, the king was laughing. But the queen fell in love at the first sight, you know, seeing this boy. He was like so adorable, as you can imagine, you know, it's one of the weapons of Vishnu appearing in this world, how attractive he must have been. So the king was, you know, laughing. This little boy, you know, he doesn't stand a chance in front of Kolahala, just like a little mice. You know, he's like a little mice and Kolahala is like this big cat. He's going to devour him. But the queen was so excited to see this boy, and she said, "Oh, just like a little spark of fire can burn down like tons and tons of cloth, like this," the queen said, "I have a feeling that he's going to destroy this Kolahala in debate." Anyway, between the king and queen, there was an argument going on. And the queen made the king promise, "If this little boy wins the debate, you have to give our king, you have to adopt him and give him our kingdom." So that's where he got the name from. In Tamil, Alavandara means, you know, the king is asking the queen, "Is he come to rule?" Like in a sarcastic way, Alavandara. And the queen is telling him, "Yes, Alavandaru is come to rule," like this. So they put them on the in the ring, so to speak, and the Kolahala was asking him questions. Kolahala was asking little Yamuna questions. And Yamunacharya felt these questions were too easy. So Yamunacharya made fun of him. He said, "Just because I'm small in size, you're asking such easy questions? If size matters, then the village buffalo is greater than you." So everybody laughed, and the pundit, Kolahala, was insulted, and he told Yamunacharya, "If you think my questions are so easy, why don't you ask me questions, and I will defeat you?" And little Yamuna said, "Okay, I'll just ask you 3 questions, and you have to prove me wrong." So Yamunacharya, little Yamuna, Alavandar, he asked him, He said to Kolahala that the king and queen that are watching the debate, Yamuna pointed to the king and said, "This king here is the most pious person in all of the kingdom." And then Kolahala was supposed to prove him wrong. prove Yamuna wrong. And then the pandit became like erupted with anger. And he said, what nonsense, this boy is trying to get me killed. And, you know, what kind of question is this? Doesn't make any sense. And then everybody calmed Kolahala down. No, no, no. The rule was that you were supposed to prove him wrong. And Kolahala admitted he couldn't prove the boy wrong. So Yamunacharya went to the next question. And then Yamunacharya said to the pandit, Kolahala, saying, your mother is a barren woman. Meaning, your mother don't have any children. So again, Kolahala was bewildered, like, what is this boy talking about? If my mother has no children, like, how am I here talking? And then again, he couldn't defeat. Again, Yamunacharya went to his third question and pointing to the queen, Yamunacharya said, you see this lady here, queen, her majesty? She is actually the most chaste woman in all of her kingdom. So again, Kolahala was supposed to prove Yamuna wrong. And then he became so insulted and angry and disturbed. Kolahala was screaming on top of his lungs. This is nonsense. This boy should be killed. He was so offensive to the king and queen and to me. And the queen and the king said, okay, you know, no ego here. Let's follow the rules of the debate. Can you defeat him or no? Can you refute him? Can you give him answers? And Kolahala admitted, I cannot. You know, I'm afraid I'll be killed if I open my mouth. And then they asked him, the queen asked Yamunacharya, can you answer your own question? And Yamunacharya said, sure. So he said, to the first point, that the king is the most pious person. The king is not the most pious person because of the reasons we just read in the verse today. So the king actually shares 1/6 of the karma of all the citizens, therefore he's not the most pious person because he does get impiety even unknowingly or unwillingly. And to this question, how Kolahala's mother was a barren woman without children, according to Vedic scriptures, if a lady has only one child, she's as good as a barren woman. A woman without a child. So in that sense, Kolahala was the only child, therefore Yamuna said like that. And to the third question, how the queen was the most chaste woman in all of the kingdom, she was not, because the king actually represents all the demigods, all the devatas, therefore, she is as good as being married or being with so many men. In that sense, the queen was not the most chaste woman. So like this, little Yamuna defeated this pandit Kolahala and then he became the king. So all these teachings are there so we can learn how to be careful while we're going about our life. And Prabhupada says here, if everybody in the purport, if everybody becomes Krishna conscious, how will the world go on? This famous question by a news reporter, they asked Prabhupada, like, oh, if everybody becomes Hare Krishna, how will the world go on? And Prabhupada, in his humorous way, usual way, he responded saying, like, oh, don't worry, there will always be some fools like you that will continue this world. So like that, Prabhupada is bringing up this point. People think, how will this world go on if everybody become Krishna conscious? And that's why there are varnas and ashramas. And if everybody does their part, the world will go on so nicely. So nicely, like it said in Maharaj Dasarath's time, there was actually practically no disease, no ativrishti, anavrishti, there was no excessive rain or drought or disease, and you know, all the citizens were so taken care of, so peaceful. So much so, it says there was no death for those who didn't want to die. And they all lived for 100,000 years. And it would rain at night when everybody is sleeping, and everything, you know, the cows will give so much milk. If you just have to put a pot under the udder and they'll pour milk. It's just, you know, everybody was so satisfied and healthy, and nobody bothered the king. Can you imagine president or prime minister walking around without security forces nowadays? They'll be killed within a second. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, Prabhupada brings up in the purport, Maharaj Dasarath, Janakaraj, Prithu Maharaj, they were completely open to the citizens' complaints, but nobody had any. Nobody wanted to bother them. So this is the beauty of spreading Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says, this is totally possible. And that's actually the duty of every leader. Not like secular state means, you know, you take care of millions of things that the citizens need or don't need, but you never encourage them in spiritual life. That's horrible. And Prabhupada points out, that means that the king will get so much karma, the leader will get so much karma. Even the parents, we don't raise our children's Krishna consciousness, we'll get karma. The guru doesn't raise their disciples' Krishna consciousness. It's like that instance when Prahlad Maharaj was walking with devotees, and there was this huge python, and there was like millions of ants eating the python's body. And when they asked, Prahlad Maharaj told how the python used to be a guru in his last life, when all these ants were disciples, because he was a fake guru, was a putana-like guru. Like most of the gurus outside of Krishna consciousness these days. The disciples came back as an ant to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the guru. So it's very intense, this reaction and the law of nature. But nobody has any idea, any clue about these things. Therefore, Prabhupada had this urgency. We can all hear when he's speaking and how much he wanted book distribution. Why? It's not like Prabhupada wanted some collection from the streets, or Prabhupada wanted to be a famous author. No, Prabhupada can see this is very dark times. Unless, you know, people get hold of one of these books, they will not even be vegetarian. Even in Brahmin communities, the girls are advertising in the newspaper saying like, oh, I want to get married to a software engineer in USA, and vegetarian optional, and social drinking is okay, social smoking is okay, everything is okay nowadays, even in Brahmana families, you know, then, you know, eat eggs, that's, you know, that's become vegetarian nowadays. So gradually, you know, if the heads of the society, so-called society that's supposed to lead, all the temples in South India are collecting dust, because the so-called Brahmana children, they have no knowledge of the Vedas, they're all sent to collect money in overseas and send it back home to make dosa. And nobody knows how to do puja or any of the Brahminical qualities. So all the temples are being managed by some sudras. So very dark times, but the good news is we have the answer, we have the solution. We have to take time and see the need to share it with others. So I will stop here. So much more can be said, but if any of you exalted devotees, beautiful Vaishnavas, so enthusiastic, I'm very grateful to Preeti Mataji and Vinaya Mataji. They're so enthusiastic to convince me to give a class, even though I'm so lethargic and in the modes of ignorance. By their mercy, I'm addressing you all exalted devotees. So please share any realizations or any questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very, very much for coming on the call and sharing all your realizations. It's actually very, very beautiful to hear from you, especially I think this verse had a lot of ideas about kings and the need for spreading Krishna consciousness. It was really wonderful hearing from you, Prabhuji. And all your life experiences, they inspire us every time you come and you share them with us. Experiences of book distribution, meeting people, and talking about people outside, outside this small circle of devotees, what's happening outside. We hardly get in touch with that, so we get to hear from you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for all the...
This is Preeti Vilasini Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, yes,
oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Dandavat Pranav.
Hello.
So happy to hear from you. You're my inspiration.
Oh, no, Prabhu, it's the other way around. I hardly do anything. And I hear
I
from you.
I want to be like you. I want to be like you when I grow up in my spiritual life.
Prabhu. Look up to you, Prabhu. So. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mata.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. You have presented the philosophy and practical explanation and implication. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata.
It was definitely a wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for that. And I really like the way you are quoting Prabhupada's words here and there, wherever you have heard and your experiences. So thank you so much for that. Anybody has any more questions for Prabhuji or any realizations to be shared at this point?
I like your MC, Mataji, Lakshmi Mataji. You're so good speaker. So clear and filled with devotion. I'm very happy to hear.
Prabhuji, we all are trying.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. A couple of, maybe one comment and a question, Prabhu.
Yeah, please, please.
The comment is about, I'm also reading the fifth canto now, so that's why I'm connecting to that. So when the king is not able to take care of citizens and is only levying taxes, and fifth canto, 26th chapter, when his description of hellish planets are coming up, then it's described how a king by levying taxes and not protecting them, then he has to go to a hellish planet like that and suffer there for a long time. That's what I was remembering in that connection. Yeah. And then other thing about when you're describing about how we to see others' property, the three things advanced person or spiritual person can, characterized can be, I think you were saying, that seeing others' property as not valuable for us, or like trash, and then seeing other women, other wives of other men, or like mother. And then what was one more thing you were saying?
Others' pain and pleasure like your own.
Right, yeah. That's plenty. So even for that also, Bhavatam has a nice descriptions even to say that there is a consequence for everything we do, including if you don't respect others properly, if you don't see others women as mother like that, then we suffer for that in hellish planets again. And then we don't see we take others' property, whether it's through stealing or cheating or lying. Even for that, there's a consequence for it. But the interesting part for me from that section was also the solution portion also, which is like we are leading towards those things because of modes of ignorance, and that deeper we are in mode of ignorance, that much deeper punishment we get in a certain hell because of the actions we do in that ignorance. So the solution Prabhupada gives is like we need to arise to mode of goodness, and by doing devotion service, then also we can arise to Brahmana and Vaishnava level, and that also helps not to go through suffering and also be blissful in spiritual world like that. That's what I was remembering when you were sharing this, Prabhu. I just wanted to share that. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure, Prabhu. And then the one other question, your thoughts about it is, so whenever I hear this topic, it is thought-provoking also, especially about the parents taking care of children. Because when Bhavatam describes about the role of the king and leadership, that is, Prabhupada takes it down to parents also. And in this verse, it is directly there in the translation itself. Yeah, in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
So in that connection, so basically, there are several, I don't know how to put it properly, but I'll make certain points through and then you can see how you can respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
One is, in Bhagavatam or scriptures, we see, like for example, Rishabhdev teachings is very strong that no one can become a parent or a leader, a husband, like that, if they cannot protect the dependents like that. So it's very strong in one sense, in many places, including this verse also. This verse is specifically saying, if we are not able to protect them, which means not able to help them become Krishna conscious, then we are sharing some of the impious credits from them also, if they are doing some impious activity like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but on the other side also, we know that my capacity is only limited. My devotion itself is limited. I'm not a pure devotee to influence others to take up pure devotion immediately. Obviously, I'm also growing in my devotion, but that means the children are also growing also. So the time is running out also. That means I did not fulfill my responsibility fully because I did not take up devotion service seriously in the beginning itself. So even now I'm struggling, but still continue to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one more thing. And then another aspect is about the, free will. Yeah. So every soul has a free will. Obviously, I did not do having children. I didn't go through Garbhadhan Samskara. I didn't situate myself in pure devotion, obviously. So whatever I got is whatever I got right now because of my own actions, of course. So, and I need to respect their free will also. It's not like I can force anybody to become a devotee. Even Krishna doesn't force me to become a devotee. Krishna helps me to give favorable conditions to become a devotee. So I don't know, I'm able to convey. Basically, I'm saying in one sense that there are strong injunctions in scriptures to protect the dependents. Another sense, I can feel my inability. Another sense, I can also see the free will of the living entity whom I'm trying to protect. So how do we take it from there? That's my question to you.
Yeah, I mean, you basically said it yourself. It's all the above. So, you know, we just have to do the best we can. Like my Gurudev always says, like, you know, we can be example for children and expose them to Krishna consciousness as much as possible. And then, because once they hit a certain age, they're going to be, you know, making up their own mind. But, you know, the one amazing thing I noticed, Prabhu, from, you know, sharing Krishna consciousness with the world, just the fact that we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are heading in that right direction of trying to love Krishna and serve Krishna. That in itself is an extraordinary thing you're doing for your family. It's like you're giving everybody the right bank account number to deposit. Because most people don't have the right bank account number and they're all depositing large sums in the wrong bank account number. So just the fact that you're a Vaishnava, you're not confused, you're not worshipping this Baba and that Guru, and you're not like, you know, eating meat and onion, garlic, and the children are all confused. No, you are setting an example that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're trying your best. And children are not foolish. They observe whatever the parents are teaching and trying to follow. So it will benefit them. And just the fact we try, because Kali Yuga, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yesterday, right? Thank you because of your question. I remembered Balaram. So Balaram would get angry very quickly, right? That's one of the opulences of Balaram. But the same Balaram was Nityananda Prabhu. Vina hina jatya chila harinama uddarelo tara sakshi jagai madai. Basically, Kali Yuga, everything is contaminated. You know, everybody lost their culture, and we have very little determination and health and concentration and financial status. Everything is going against us. So Nityananda Prabhu sees, you know, like they say, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if you want to please Nityananda, then you chant the names of Gauranga, and if you want to please the names of, if you want to please Gauranga, you chant the names of Nityananda, and if you want to please them both, you sit down and chant Hare Krishna. So what I'm saying is, everything is going against us. We can, you know, try our best, and that's all we can do. Like you said, we're not the Ishwaras. Even Prabhupada's own children didn't take to Krishna consciousness. Advaita Acharya says he had 6 children and 3 of them became Mayavadis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the children, 3 of them became Mayavadis. So the risk is always there. That's why Bhakti Siddhanta said, I'm willing to have sex hundreds of times, provided I can bring forth Krishna conscious children into the world. But he never had sex, so that goes to show us the point he was making. So it is a crazy situation, but just the fact you're so sincere, devotee, Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. If we can give mercy to Putana and so many entities and see the good in them, what to speak of us? Because our saving grace is our spiritual master and Prabhupada and Gauranitai. So we are Kali Yuga people. So, you know, we just hope for the best.
Shukru. Yeah. Thank you for the encouragement and the hope also, Prabhuji. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Hare Krishna.
If there are no more questions for Prabhuji, we would like to end the call here. So once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. And we are really grateful to you and really look forward to having your association again in future. I would like to end the
call. Thank you,
Mata. Vancha kalptarabhyascha upyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vashkavebhyo namo namaha. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Shastrakrit Prabhuji ki jai.
Need all your blessings so I can distribute lots of books today. Please keep me in your prayers.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.